Welcome back to this week's episode of The Emily Show. Wow. Secrets, lies, established Southern family, lots of indictments. Today, we are talking about Alec Murdaugh. It is one of the wildest things. And it was wild the last time I covered it. But so much has happened since then, and there is no slowing down. So today we are going over all of the indictments. No, we are not reading them line for line. There are so many. But we are going to go over what exactly Alec Murdaugh is facing, what comes next, and then some of the tentacles that this case has grown, because there are criminal suits, there are civil suits, there are new investigations into suspicious deaths surrounding this family. It is wild. And we are going to go through that today. So I will leave down in the show notes and in the description the link to my last episode if you want some more of the backstory. And then as we get into the episode, I will share some of the resources that I have found very helpful. There are journalists dedicated just to breaking down this case. If you want to get into the minute details of this case, you sure can. Let's talk about this real quick. Well, Emily, never say real quick, because that's never going to happen. Let's talk about the indictments facing disgraced attorney Alec Murdaugh. Ooh, today's going to be a lot.
Hey there. Welcome to The Emily Show. I'm your host, Emily D. Baker, badass lawyer and everyone's favorite legal commentator, breaking down the legal shit in the news and pop culture stories you want to talk about. I've been a licensed attorney for over 15 years. I'm a former prosecutor, and I'm a big fan of the cursey words. So let's break it down.
Before we get all the way into this week's episode, we have a real quick minute for today's sponsor. If your mind is wandering while you're listening to the lovely sound of my voice because you don't know what's for dinner tonight, literally, that is my least favorite conversation ever. Deciding what's for dinner is actually the bane of my existence. Why is it so hard? I hate it the most. And this is something I've hated as long as I can remember. Like, what's for dinner tonight? Ah, just make food happen. Well, now you can just make food happen with Green Chef. Green Chef is a CCOF certified meal kit company. Green Chef makes eating well easy with plans to fit every lifestyle. And you can mix and match your box. Not only is the food organic, you can pick your lifestyle, whether you want, you know, keto or paleo or vegan or vegetarian or Mediterranean or fast and fit or gluten-free, you can just mix what works best for you, or you can just pick delicious meals that are family friendly. Look, Green Chef is so easy that my 14-year-old has been able to make us dinner using our Green Chef meals, and they are always delicious. It's been nice to give him the independence, and the ingredients are premium and organic, and they just come to my door, and they have color-coded instructions, so you can just pick what works best for you. We are huge fans of Green Chef, and if you want to try it for yourself, there has never been a better time. You can get $135 off plus free shipping when you go to greenchef.com/EmilyBaker135 and use code EmilyBaker135 and get $135 off plus free shipping. Find out for yourself why Green Chef is the number one meal kit for eating well. Literally, it's so easy. Take the stress out of what's for dinner and have something delicious tonight. Let me know what you try and tag me in your photos if you make some recipes to share with me. I would love to see what you pick. All right. Let's get back to today's episode. Okay. So for those of you that have not been covering or following this case in depth, I don't blame you. This garnered a lot of local attention in South Carolina and is now starting to gain, and has over the last year really been gaining, national attention. But if we jump to the end and then back up, at the end of last week, July 14th, Alec Murdaugh was indicted for the homicide, the murder of his wife and his son, Paul Murdaugh. He has one surviving son, Buster, and we will talk about that. But this has kind of brought back a, oh my, what is going on in this case? So starting at the end and moving to the beginning, started from the bottom, now we're here. We're going to go back in the timeline. I'm going to give a real quick history, real quick. The other episode will be linked down below. And then we're going to catch up with all these indictments, because today, as I am recording this on July 18th, 2022, there are a total, Emily, are you going to give us the punchline? Yes. There are a total of 17 indictments against Alec Murdaugh, 85 different charges, including the murder of his wife and son, and over 8.4 million that is alleged to have been taken from clients. Emily, lawyers taking client money? Yes, but with a whole bunch of suspicious deaths looped in and criminal indictments for this behavior. You know, what we should have seen in the Girardi case ages and ages ago, but are never going to see. That's what's happening here. This unraveled and pulled everyone in with it. So the people who seem to have been complicit, who are alleged to have been complicit with this, are also getting pulled in to the criminal indictments. And that's not even talking about the civil lawsuits, of which there are many. So I have to give a shout out to Mandy Matney and the Murdaugh Murders podcast for the excellent reporting that she and the podcast have been doing. If you're not familiar with Mandy Matney or this podcast, she is a news director at fitznews.com. They have been following this case locally with tremendous respect to the victims here and a lot of integrity in their reporting. It has been so helpful going through what they've uncovered, including doing the Freedom of Information Act request to get the jail calls and doing multiple podcast episodes with regard to the jail calls. Jail calls are hard to listen through. Even as a DA, not only can it be a bit tedious, but it can also be kind of heart-wrenching. And it is hard work to do. And they and their team have done really tremendous reporting on this. So if you want all of the investigative reporting angle for this, I can't suggest that podcast enough, and the reporting that they've done enough. It's been absolutely fantastic. I want to look at the legal angle, especially given my background as a former prosecutor. Now we have lots and lots and lots of crimes. There's lots of crimes and civil lawsuits. So many lawsuits. So if you want the deep dive investigative reporting, like why is there corruption in the system and what is the mainstream media getting wrong, that is where I would turn for it. I am going to link my previous episode down below and give you a brief background. In July 2015, a young man named Stephen Smith was found dead about 10 miles from the Murdaugh home. His mother has been tireless in pushing for more of an investigation into this suspicious death. And it looks like that is finally happening after the killing of Paul Murdaugh due to things that were recovered from Paul Murdaugh's devices in that homicide investigation. So that case from 2015 is finally being looked at again. In February 2019, Paul Murdaugh, the one who we were just discussing, was the driver of a fatal boat accident. Well, was the driver of a boat that was involved in a fatal boat accident while he was under the influence, killing 19-year-old Mallory Beach. That boating under the influence case bred felony charges, but also a large number of civil lawsuits. And those civil lawsuits are still ongoing, some of which are now alleging a cover-up and a conspiracy with regard to Paul Murdaugh, his drinking, et cetera, et cetera. Also in February, like 2 days after the boating accident, the housekeeper at the Murdaugh residence, Gloria Satterfield, I always say Stratter and it's not, Satterfield, died under suspicious circumstances at the house. We're going to talk about that later on. I'm also going to link the charity that Gloria's family has started to continue her legacy in Hampton County, South Carolina, down below, Gloria's Gifts, that's going to make sure to give out Christmas presents to those in need. And I think we have had some very difficult years, and there will be difficult years ahead financially for folks. And what a wonderful way to be able to share a love of the holidays in memory. So February 2019, the Murdaugh family says that she had tripped over a dog or something happened with the dog and she fell downstairs and that caused the death. There are civil cases that are just now settling over the wrongful death that we will get into because she is one of the clients that Murdaugh is alleged to have stolen funds from with the aid of another attorney. And that is all also happening at the same time as we get into our more current timeline. So we've got a suspicious death in 2015, a boating under the influence fatality boat accident, and then the suspicious circumstances death of the housekeeper. Then we get into 2021. June 7th, 2021, we just passed the one-year anniversary. Maggie Murdaugh and Paul Murdaugh are both shot at the family's hunting estate. Alec Murdaugh discovers them, calls 911, and is designated a person of interest as in the case, and then nothing seems to happen until July 2022. As I said at the top of this show, he has now been indicted for those murders. But back in June 2021, he was identified as a person of interest in the case, and the police confirmed that there was no threat to the public in this relatively small community. So what we know from investigations and from information that has been reported on is that Murdaugh did have gunshot residue on him. There was blood spatter on him. And I'm sure we will see more of that in the days and, well, years to come as this case goes to trial. But Maggie Murdaugh and Paul Murdaugh were both shot by different weapons, which is an interesting thing to note as we get into it. In September 2021, a criminal investigation was opened into the death of Gloria Satterfield and into the handling of her estate, as well as a civil lawsuit being filed by her sons against Murdaugh and other attorneys. And that is still ongoing in that the settlement is just being dealt with. As we speed up in time, we'll get there. Me jumping ahead of myself. I want to tell you the end part, but that is being dealt with. So that started in September 2021. September 16th, 2021, Murdaugh is charged with insurance fraud and conspiracy to commit insurance fraud and filing a false police report, but he is arrested, he posts bonds, and then enters rehab in Florida. From there, everything unravels fairly quickly with we have another personal injury lawsuit with regard to the boat accident come in. We have a motion for civil detention with regard to the estate of Gloria Satterfield. We have a lot of activity from SLED, which is the law enforcement division, the South Carolina law or state law enforcement division in South Carolina. We have then a September 28th, 2021 suicide for hire plot. Do you remember the suicide for hire? Yes. It seems and is alleged and then criminally charged that Alex Murdaugh hired Curtis Edward Smith to shoot him for an insurance payout. That is not allowed. But there is a $10 million life insurance policy. That happened September 27th. But it's interesting to note that when the suicide for hire is going down, Murdaugh has been arrested on an insurance fraud case, and there are these mounting civil lawsuits with regard to the Mallory Beach death in the boating accident. On September 28th, Curtis Edward Smith gives an interview that he feels betrayed by Murdaugh, who he considered to be a brother. What? Yeah. Settlements begin being reached in the Satterfield case in October 2021. October 6, 2021, Alex Murdaugh is sued by his former law firm. And then everything kind of topples. October 9th, another attorney that was involved in the Satterfield case has their law license suspended in Georgia. That's Corey Fleming. We'll hear about him later. October 14th, 2021, Murdaugh is arrested in Florida on two felony counts of obtaining property by false pretenses and alleged misappropriation of insurance funds with regard to the death of Gloria Satterfield. On October 15th, Murdaugh's lawyers on Good Morning America, October 22nd, SLED releases a number of 911 calls from the day that Murdaugh was shot in the head due to the suicide for hire plot. On November 2nd, we finally see Murdaugh's assets being frozen due to the wrongful death case. But what's interesting is in the jail calls that we see on the Murdaugh Murders podcast, you hear Alec talking to his son Buster about still moving funds or property around. So he's aware that this asset freeze is coming. It'll be very interesting to see if more comes of the assets being moved prior to this asset freeze order coming down in November 2021. Then on November 4th, you get another indictment with Murdaugh and Curtis Edward Smith, both indicted for that assisted suicide plot, along with the insurance fraud. That's November 4th. November 19th, 2021, Alex Murdaugh has five indictments handed down against him with 27 charges. Emily, why are there so many indictments? South Carolina is grouping them. So the indictments, the charges are grouped kind of by instance as I'm reading through the indictments. Why don't they just do one indictment? It seems to be jurisdictional because these things are sometimes happening in different counties. Why doesn't the state AG just take them all under an umbrella? I don't know. Will that maybe happen? I don't know. It could. There are a lot of different indictments. Will they at some point be put together? Always possible. We will see. In December 2021, there are numerous civil lawsuits that are filed, including Gloria Satterfield's family suing Bank of America, alleging that they aided Alex Murdaugh in the financial crimes of defrauding the family out of their settlement funds. And they sued Curtis Edward Smith. Yes, the same individual that was the gunman in the assisted suicide plot, that dude, alleging that Murdaugh paid him $2 million over 6 years. That was money that should have gone to the Satterfields. Well, it's Emily from the future because we had a little bit of a technical difficulty with Emily from the past. So on the audio, you're like, I can't tell. On the video, you can definitely tell. So let us jump in to December 9th, 2021. Gloria Satterfield's family sued Curtis Edward Smith. That's right. The guy we talked about earlier, the gunman in the suicide for hire plot, sues him, claiming that Murdaugh paid him $2 million over 6 years and that it's money that should have gone to the Satterfield family. Also on December 9th, there's another indictment. It's like, I don't know. At some point we did like indictment warning. There's so many of them. I've never seen indictments falling like dominoes quite like this in a case. In this grouping, the state grand jury issued seven indictments with 21 new criminal charges. At some point, we're just put up the counter. So seven indictments, 21 new charges. This brings the total to 12 indictments and 48 charges. Most of these indictments include breach of trust with fraudulent intent, which is underlying fraud crime. That's just what they call it in South Carolina. And then computer crimes, which are essentially South Carolina's kind of money laundering, not money laundering, that's not what I meant, wire fraud type provision, like using the computer to do or facilitate shit that's fraudulent. Some of these indictments also include money laundering. So that's what this grouping of indictments deals with. And then on December 13th, 2021, Murdaugh is in custody and bond is finally set at $7 million. He remains in custody today. And we've heard some of his jail calls, which we will talk about throughout this podcast, as they have been requested by the Murdaugh Murders podcast through a Freedom of Information Act request and then shared by their podcast. So if you want to hear those, please go check out that podcast. Not that my podcast needs to tell you to go check them out. They are a massive podcast, and I'm sure you're probably already listening, but just in case. So the new year is rung in, and everything just continues rolling. We get from December 13th just into the new year, January 11th, 2022, and Corey Fleming has his law license suspended in the state of Georgia for allegations or in connection with allegations that he helped Murdaugh funnel money from the Satterfield family settlement. And that is kind of the ongoing underlying issue at this point for Corey Fleming. We will continue to hear that name. He was buddies with Alec Murdaugh. He, according to all of the reports at Gloria Satterfield's funeral, Murdaugh was pressuring her children to hire Corey Fleming to sue over the wrongful death. And you're going, Emily, didn't Gloria Satterfield die on Murdaugh's property? Yes. Well, wouldn't that mean that the person that's being sued is Alec Murdaugh? Yes. So wait, he told the litigants or the potential plaintiffs, the estate, what attorney to hire to sue him? Yes. Why does that feel like a conflict of interest? Also, yes. Yes, it does, doesn't it? But how do you assure that things don't go awry and nobody looks into things further if you just ask them to hire your buddy to sue you? Hey, hire my bestie from law school to sue me. Should the Satterfield sons have signed a conflict waiver? Should have. Did they? Nope. Did Corey Fleming tell them that he was besties with Murdaugh? No. Emily, don't they have to do that? Yes. 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 They didn't know, from all accounts, that their attorney, Corey Fleming, was like BFFs with Alex Murdaugh, who they were suing. And so if that had happened, and if that had been asked for, maybe they would have had the opportunity to be like, this seems odd. Yes, it seems odd. I mean, when you get pressured at a funeral to hire a lawyer, that's odd too. All of it's odd. All of this is odd. But maybe it could have saved just a little bit of stress, agony, heartache over everything that happened. They've already lost their mother. They shouldn't have to fight with their attorney to get their settlement funds after suing his bestie. It's just too much. And maybe, just maybe, if Corey Fleming had done the right thing, the fallout wouldn't have been so bad. But we're going to get back to the fallout for Corey Fleming in just a little bit, because not only was his law license suspended by Georgia, but wait, there's more. That happened January 11th. Wait until we get to March 16th. We'll circle back to what's going on for Corey Fleming with regard to all of this with the Satterfields. That takes us up to January 20, 2022. And guess what? There are more indictments. Yep. The state of South Carolina filed an additional 4 indictments with an additional 23 counts. So we're up to, I don't know, we're up to 11 indictments and like 43, 44 charges, if my math maths. Who knows if it will or not. But don't worry, we'll get to the end. We'll catch it all up. But we're in there somewhere if the math is mathing. And these additional indictments all deal with the same types of crimes. Breach of trust with fraudulent intent with regard to client settlement funds. They're alleging one grouping of incidents with over $309,000. Yes, $309,000. Another one with over $89,000. Those are disbursements that were going or supposed to go to the same clients. And then the computer crimes that are attenuated to that. And that's where we get all of these counts. Why South Carolina does them in groups of incidents and groups of counties, and they aren't just making this statewide and releasing superseding indictments and keeping them all in one. I don't know. It's a lot of indictments. Will they all join up together down the road? Who knows? Maybe. I've never practiced in South Carolina. It's an interesting way to do it. It ends up being quite a lot of indictments. Just a lot of indictments. Well, I mean, Emily, is there a lot of fuckery? Yes. Yes, there's a lot of fuckery. It's wild because between all these indictments and between the civil lawsuits, I'm sure for Murdaugh, he's got two different groups of lawyers. But for me, trying to keep all this straight, my bullet pointed, like broad overview notes are well over 10 pages. If we do fine detail notes, they're extensive. And that's just covering the legal filings and not every single legal filing for every single case. It's like the broad strokes because there is so much in all these various indictments and civil suits. And again, if you want me to get into those more in detail, let me know in the comments, let me know on social media. If we want more of a dive into particular legal documents, I am going to go through all of the indictments and pull out kind of the overriding incidents and go through and group those together. So as we talk about this going forward, then we know exactly which grouping of indictments and which grouping of client victims we're talking about separate from the civil cases, because those are, you know, an extensive amount of cases as well. Then on January 24th, 2022, Mallory Beach's family and two other survivors of the boat crash file credit claims of $65 million against the estates of Paul and Maggie Murdaugh. This will ensure that those estates don't settle until these claims are settled. So it's kind of putting a stopgap in there to make sure that the estates don't settle out and really go to Alec Murdaugh before the survivors of the boat crash and Mallory Beach's family have their claims resolved. So it's procedural protection at this point because they know they have to. On March 16th, Corey Fleming is indicted on 18 charges related to the theft of more than $3 million from the estate from Gloria Satterfield. Remember, we talked about them being homies, and this is it's just so improper. That's just all. It's just so improper. On May 4th, there are more indictments. A grand jury indicts Murdaugh on 4 charges, and also Corey Fleming, and also a banker, Russell Lucius Lafayette? Lafitte? Emily, those sound nothing alike. I know they don't. My brain went Lafayette, but it's spelled L-A-F-F-I-T-T-E. So Lafitte is what we're going with. But in my brain, Russell Lucius Lafayette felt right. Emily, you can't just rename people. I know. I'm sorry that I'm talking. Future Emily talks to herself so much. I apologize. So May 4th, 2022, more indictments, including a banker and Corey Fleming. These are criminal indictments in addition to the March 16th indictment. So the Corey Fleming ticker is 2 indictments and 22 charges. But for Murdaugh, we're now up to 15 indictments and 79 charges as we add everything together, including schemes to defraud victims out of more than $8.4 million as these indictments are now adding up. On May 31st, we get some movement in the Gloria Satterfield case because Murdaugh signs a confession of judgment. A confession of judgment is not just a, hey, we're going to settle. It is a confession of judgment. I took this money and you are entitled to it back for more than $4.3 million. And the court approves it the next day. Gloria Satterfield's family in short time after this also releases that she is starting starting a foundation in her honor called Gloria's Gifts that is going to ensure that no family in their local county, Hampton County, South Carolina, goes without presents at Christmas time. I'm going to link those down below. If you're listening to this story and you're like, I wish there was something I can do, all of the aggrieved families involved, I'm going to leave anything that they have down below because I know that there's been stuff for the families, including Gloria's foundation. So those will be in the description and the show notes. And then on all of my episodes on this going forward, I will be sharing those again, because I know when I cover things like this and when you know, you guys reach out to me. You're like, is there anything we can do? It's so much. It is so much. And if donating to a foundation in somebody's name is what works for you, then at least it is something that can be done. But also keeping an eye on this case and keeping an eye on how it's being handled and calling for more action in other cases, saying, why aren't these things being done? They can be done. We're seeing it here in South Carolina. So keeping an eye, I think, helps. I really do think the attention of the public helps quite a lot in cases where more attention is needed. So on June 1st, 2022, the court approves that settlement. On June 3rd, though, 2022, news is released or information is released from SLED that they are going to exhume Gloria Satterfield's remains as part of the ongoing death investigation. This is something law enforcement is not going to take lightly because not only does it disrupt the dead, but also a grieving family. It's quite a lot to exhume someone. It's not regularly done unless it's absolutely needed. If we need another episode in all of the nonsense surrounding what went on with the coroner, there were a lot of oddities with regard to the death of Gloria Satterfield, not just the manner and occurrence of her death, but also what happened afterwards at the coroner's office. There's been a lot of questions. I'm not surprised that this investigation was reopened after it was ruled an accident. So if more information is needed, I will put an asterisk here that we will get back to going a little bit deeper into what happened. And I hope that we'll see more information coming out as this investigation goes forward and as they are taking the quite extraordinary step of exhuming someone's remains. I think part of the reason that they are exhuming Gloria Satterfield's remains is because there was no autopsy ever done, which is interesting when it's an odd manner of death that somebody maybe tripped over a dog and fell downstairs. I mean, yes, it can happen, but it wasn't necessarily protocol to not do an autopsy. And it feels to me when I was looking at that kind of aspect of this case, that maybe it was like, oh, well, Alex Murdaugh said that this is what happened, so that's what happened. Well, his word has come well into question now. And I just wonder again, what was going on around the time that she passed and what did she know? Because it's a very odd circumstance. So that is what's happening, or that is what happened on June 3rd. On June 28th, there's another, say it with me, indictment. This indictment ties together something that had been widely speculated about. And again, I prefer to rely on court documents, but this is something that had been widely speculated about. Look, I am not an investigative reporter. I'm a lawyer. I like to break down the law. I like to look at the lawsuits. So until things are kind of buttoned up in a legal filing, and yes, legal filings are formalized allegations, and yes, everyone has a presumption of innocence. Once you see that at least somebody believes there's enough evidence to charge this and you've put it before a grand jury, it's more than speculation. It is more than mere speculation at this point. It at least has gone, you know, to a preponderance of the evidence. It's like, oh, it's likely. So in this latest indictment, Alex Murdaugh is charged with Curtis Edward Smith. Yep. The Curtis Edward Smith from the suicide for hire plot. Murdaugh is only charged with two counts of this indictment, but it is a multi-count indictment with a lot more in it. For Murdaugh, it is one count of conspiracy and a count relating to OxyContin, but the other counts are conspiracy, money laundering, forgery, trafficking in methamphetamine, possession of controlled substances. There's a whole lot more to that indictment. And it had long been speculated that Curtis Edward Smith was the one facilitating the addiction of Alex Murdaugh, was his drug dealer. And this is alleging that there was a conspiracy between the two of them, at least with some of that drug-related behavior. Remember, Murdaugh's already confessed that he hired Curtis Edward Smith to shoot him for an insurance payout. We're already there. What's interesting is that the conspiracy alleged in this case has to deal with some 437 checks over $2.4 million that went from Murdaugh to Smith. but we also have pretty close in time that lawsuit from the Satterfield family saying that Murdaugh funneled at least $2 million to Smith that should have gone to them. And then we're seeing roughly $2.4 million in this new indictment. So there's something there. And I am very interested to see more about this particular indictment for sure. So now we're at 16 total indictments and 81 charges over $8.4 million from victims. Then on July 12th, Murdaugh is formally disbarred by the Supreme Court of South Carolina. And what I've learned, particularly through listening to the Murdaugh Murders podcast, is that in the jail calls, Alec Murdaugh is still kind of running things. He's very savvy in the ways of currying favor in custody. He's using his canteen books. He's betting on sports games to trade in soups and beef sticks and things. He's using other people's numbers, it seems, to make phone calls, all things that are fairly standard and commonplace. And I'm not surprised if he had any dealing as a lawyer with the criminal processes that he would be kind of quickly savvy in that way and seems to be. But he also seems very proud and very connected to being an attorney. And again, it becomes a big part of a lot of our identities. Not all, I would never speak for all attorneys everywhere all the time, but for a lot of us, being an attorney is a central part of our identity because law school actually changes the way you think. And there's just a kind of a shorthand with other lawyers, even though we don't all get along, we can be quite headstrong individuals. But the Supreme Court of South Carolina has taken the step to formally disbar Alec Murdaugh. Not that that's going to stop him from acting as a jailhouse attorney, which I'm sure that he is, reading people's papers and giving them information in a non-formal way, which happens in custody all the time. There are some very savvy individuals when it comes to non-lawyers who understand the law. But let's go into this order real quick. Order. We suspended respondent Richard Alexander Murdaugh. And yes, he goes by Alec, which sounds like it should be A-L-E-C. But his name is Alexander, but his first name is Richard. So I think we can call him Dick, right? Dick Murdaugh. So Dick was suspended from the practice of law on September 8th, 2021. And then they cite the case and then go on to say, in the intervening months, respondent has been indicted on more than 80 criminal charges arising from various ongoing investigations. 80. More than 80. We're going to see that total as we get to the end of this podcast. Additionally, respondent has admitted in various court proceedings and filings that he engaged in financial misconduct involving theft of money from his former law firm, that he solicited his own murder to defraud life insurance, and that he is liable for the theft of $4.3 million in settlement funds, footnote one. Based on these admissions, we issue an order directing respondent to personally appear before this court on June 22nd, 2022, to present legal argument on the question of whether he should be disbarred from the practice of law. We subsequently canceled that hearing after respondent filed an affidavit waiving all rights to a hearing and stating he did not contest the court's authority and decision to disbar him from the practice of law. Well, he's going to be in jail, so at least he didn't waste the court's time in this. I mean, maybe this was the actual only time. That's a bit of an exaggeration. At least he's showing candor to the court and not fighting it and being like, I fucked around, I found out. It's just so fucking appalling. It really is. We subsequently canceled that hearing after respondent filed an affidavit waiving all his rights to a hearing, stating he did not contest the court's authority and decision to disbar him from the practice of law. In doing so, we noted a formal decision as to disbarment would follow. Disbarment is among the most serious sanction the court can impose for unethical conduct committed by members of the legal profession. The purpose of disbarring an attorney, quote, is to remove from the profession a person whose misconduct has proved him unfit to be entrusted with the duties and responsibilities belonging to the office of an attorney, and thus to protect the public and those charged with the administration of justice, end quote. And then they case cite to Enrique Kennedy. Respondent concedes the disbarment is warranted in light of his admitted professional misconduct. I mean, I feel like that's an understatement. However, our decision today turns not on respondent's concession, but rather derives from our constitutional authority and duty to protect the public from attorneys who are not fit to practice law. See In re Archer. Quote, the authority to discipline attorneys and the manner in which discipline is given rests entirely on this court. Indeed, we take this step today based on our ability to conclude from the public record that respondents' untruthfulness and misconduct resulted in significant harm to clients, also an understatement, and demands his removal from the practice of law. Based on his admitted reprehensible misconduct, there we go. There's a little bit stronger language. Based on his admitted reprehensible conduct, we hereby disbar respondent Richard Alexander Murdaugh from the practice of law in South Carolina. In removing respondent from the legal profession, we note his misconduct remains under investigation by the Office of Disciplinary Counsel, and our decision today in no way concludes, limits, restricts, or otherwise impacts the ongoing ODC investigation, which we trust will continue without undue delay. So this is not the end for him. There is still an investigation going on. I don't know what that's going to matter with the amount of criminal and civil cases he's facing, but it might just be the ego crush of the thing of this is taking the legacy down brick by brick, because the Murdaugh family did indeed have a legacy in South Carolina. They had been the solicitor of their county, which is essentially like the district attorney, for over 100 years. Like when we're talking legacy family, generational legacy, this is what we are talking about. And I think it's appropriate to continue to leave that legacy where it belongs at this point with Alex Murdaugh by pointing out every single thing that has gone wrong here. And at least they're indicting all the people that seem to have helped, or a good number of them. Is it all of them? I don't know. Maybe we'll find out. For purposes of transparency and accountability, the Supreme Court goes on to say, if additional acts of misconduct by respondent are discovered in the ODC investigation, we will issue supplemental orders detailing any such additional acts of misconduct and imposing additional sanctions where appropriate. Footnote 2, which says, particularly, we emphasize this court may issue supplemental orders on issues such as costs and restitution, especially if full restitution is not awarded in other proceedings. So if we find client money missing and it is not otherwise accounted for, this court can try to rectify it. Again, it feels like South Carolina's going a lot further and so far has done a lot more than what has happened in the Girardi case that is still just playing out in a bankruptcy proceeding. So that is the end of what the Supreme Court has done in this case. They are not done looking at this case, but they have disbarred Alex Murdaugh. They reserve the right to continue their investigation and try to make it right with restitution if that's not handled in other venues. But with the amount of indictments here and civil litigations, will there be any money to deal with? Probably not. That's the reality of the situation. Probably not. But if there is money elsewhere, with the amount of investigations going on, law enforcement may be able to find that. There are numerous money laundering charges. There are bank accounts that are subject to these investigations. So there could be more of that as more is discovered. So on July 12th, when this disbarment comes down, it is amid rumblings that the indictment for the murders of Maggie and Paul Murdaugh are coming down in short order. And that's exactly what happened. On July 14th, 2022, as I mentioned at the top of the show, Alex Murdaugh was indicted for the murder of his wife, Maggie, and his son, Paul. The statement by SLED Chief Mark Keel is as follows. Over the last 13 months, SLED agents and our partners have worked day in and day out to build a case against the person responsible for the murders of Maggie and Paul and to exclude those who were not. At no point did agents lose focus on this investigation. From the beginning, I have been clear. The priority was to ensure justice was served. Today is one more step in the long process of justice for Maggie and Paul. That brings the total at recording to 17 indictments, 85 charges, including 2 charges that can be capital murder charges, and over 8.4 million from victims, most of whom are clients. It is absolutely staggering. Once you get that one domino to fall, just like in the Girardi case, it just starts going. I have to wonder, as I've been digging through all of this, if this is where we ended up because Murdaugh was trying to cover up the lies. Lies and theft is where this started. But then you get all of these civil lawsuits with regard to the boating under the influence related death of Mallory Beach. And I wonder if that was the tipping point where covering up everything became too much, because you saw, or we've seen reports that things between Paul Murdaugh and Maggie Murdaugh were not good. We've seen allegations and speculation that there is a cover-up with regard to the boat crash and a conspiracy to do so. Then you have, you know, the death of Maggie and Paul as these civil lawsuits are mounting. It's all, the timing of all of it is very odd. The deaths are very odd. For me, the 911 call is odd. And it's just, there are things that don't sit right in my prosecutor brain. I would be very interested to know what the rest of the investigation turned up. I'm very interested to see what comes out about the Gloria Satterfield death investigation and the others. This is something that if you tried to write it, everybody would be like, that's too over the top. There's no way. But is this all a cover up to cover the lies and the theft? I don't know. We will see. There, if it's believed, it'll be alleged as motive, especially with regard to Maggie and Paul. If they find that the death of Gloria Satterfield was not accidental and was in fact at the hands of another, then that might play in too. What did people know? How much did they know? What's on the devices? What's in the emails? What do we know? And if there are people with information that they know, the shit's out of the horse on this one. So it's coming. This iceberg is being uncovered bit by bit. And we're seeing that in the pervasive and constant indictments, that there is no letting up in digging out what has been going on with Alec Murdaugh and those that are connected to him. And that is going to continue, because I'm sure law enforcement is like, we need to see where the bottom of this thing is. We can't stop now. There's too much to stop. And this is going to not just the civil cases, but spark other criminal investigations, because it's who else is connected. And we'll see how big this case gets by the time we get to the end of it. But what we know is that the Murdaugh legacy of prominent legal family in South Carolina is over. How over that is, we will see. But it's, looking through all the indictments was staggering. And if you want kind of a breakdown of all of the indictments, I was trying to give a timeline overview because it is in fact so much. But if you want a breakdown of the different clients, we can do that. Just please let me know in the comments down below, in your reviews of the podcast on Apple and other platforms, or on social media at the Emily D. Baker in my DMs. My email is also publicly available if you want to email me and say, yes, I'm interested in that, or yes, look at this. I'm always open. I am not an investigative reporter. I am not a journalist. I am a lawyer. I love looking through the legal documents. If you would like me to go through more of these legal documents, I absolutely will. Because there are, well, 17 indictments. And then there's all the civil litigation. And the civil litigation has a lot going on as well. I mean, it is, there's a reason the Murdaugh Murders is a whole ass podcast just covering this family, because it's so much stuff. But we can go through some of those legal filings and go through the different theories in the civil cases and then the indictments, if that would be helpful. But we are going to be touching in with this case as things start happening. We know that Alec Murdaugh's attorney has said that they want their speedy trial. They want to push this to go to trial, which is probably not going to hurt them. And it's probably not the serve they think it is. And I'll tell you why. They want speedy trial. They're like, 60 days. Let's push this to trial in 60 days. Most homicide trials take a year plus to get to trial. Here's the thing. There was no arrest made for 13 months. By the time they brought this to a grand jury, I would have to imagine they were anticipating it going to trial and going to trial rather quickly. So they should have most of their I's dotted and their T's crossed before they brought it for indictment. They took their time. He's sitting in jail. If he's their only suspect, he's not going anywhere. There were 16 other indictments before this one. He's not going anywhere. So there was no need for them to rush. So his attorneys pushing this to trial probably won't help them, because it's not going to punish, if you will, or force the prosecution to be, you know, forced to trial and not be ready, because they, again, had 13 months to investigate and bring it to grand jury. For those of you that have not been around, you are newer law nerds, a grand jury indictment is a process by which evidence is presented to a grand jury behind closed doors. There's no defendant there. There's no defense attorney there. It is just presented. This is what the case is. Is there probable cause to believe that the person we say did the thing did this thing? It is a very low standard that allows somebody to be held over to go to trial. Trial is beyond a reasonable doubt. Probable cause is law professors everywhere are being like, really? Yes, it's It's more likely than not. Probable cause is like, kind of. That's how I describe probable cause, because that's exactly what it is. Seems like you did it. Good enough. Then you have to go to trial and prove it beyond a reasonable doubt. That burden is substantially higher. But how the legal wrangling will shake out in this very small community with, how do you pick a jury? I don't know what they're going to do about these criminal cases and where they're going to put them. Because in a county like Los Angeles, Los Angeles County's huge, huge. Just for reference, the population of Los Angeles County for 2022 is being reported at 12.4 million. That's LA County. The population of South Carolina is 5 million. The whole state. So when you're looking at moving cases around within LA County, and we saw this with the OJ case, it was moved from Santa Monica to downtown. You can move things around within the same county to try to move out of an area where this is of intense interest. I don't know what they're going to do about that in South Carolina, or if they're not going to do it and just voir dire a jury and be like, some people don't care about this, the way they do with other high profile cases. But this case is of intense public interest, especially intense local public interest. When I was in South Carolina for Dave Matthews this past summer, well, it's still summer. It doesn't feel like it. My kids start school soon. But this past summer, we were out to breakfast and talking to the owner of Big Bad Breakfast. Love it so much. Love BBB. Love the ones here in Tennessee. Loved the one in South Carolina. But we were chatting, and when we were chatting about covering this case, it's just like, oh, yes, there is lots of conversation about the Murdaughs, about the family, about the case. This is inescapable locally. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do as they are pushing this to trial. We trying to track the civil cases and the criminal indictments is going to be interesting, but we are going to do it, because as we're looking at what's happening in the Girardi case, there's a part of me that wishes we were seeing some of that accountability in that case that we are seeing in this case. We've now seen two attorneys, a banker and a co-conspirator / gunman, all indicted. We've seen two attorneys disbarred. And this has been really from the tip of the iceberg when the first indictment came down, within a year of the first indictment. There's been a lot of movement from local law enforcement and the local Supreme Court. It took them over a year to disbar Girardi. So we're going to keep looking at these two cases, because they are absolutely the worst of the worst of what a lawyer should do. And I just don't have any more words for it. So I'm going to stop. I mean, it's just, it's reprehensible. It's appalling. And it's devastating, the impact that abusing a position of trust has. And well, we're going to continue to see the fallout of it and the consequences from it, aren't we? So with that, let me know your thoughts on this case and all the cases I cover down in the comments or, you know, in your reviews of the podcast. Thank you for continuing to make this podcast, you know, number one in entertainment news, in the top 100 in your news category, because we cover the stories that we are all talking about. And this one is just wild. So thank you for being here. Thank you for being a law nerd. Thank you for letting me talk about something other than the Depp v. Heard case for a moment, because so much has happened in this case, we needed to get back to it. May your Wi-Fi be strong. May your toilet paper be plentiful. May your gas not be $7 a gallon. May your family be well, and may the odds be ever in your favor. I will see you in the next one.